As I said this morning when we started, Happy New Year. And I also mentioned it's weird. How many of you still feel it's weird that we're in 2026 already? Quite a few of you. Okay, we're all in the same boat together. But I mean, it's still, even though it's weird, it still does feel good to say it, doesn't it? It still feels good to say Happy New Year? Yeah. I think it feels good because every time that we say it, it's almost like we're saying that there's a sense of hope. That this year's going to be better than last year. How many of you, at the start of every year, hope that this year's going to be better than last year? Yeah, vast majority of us. I mean, we talk about new starts, clean slates, fresh beginnings. But here's the thing, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, at the start of a new year, a lot of people end up walking into the new year already tired. I feel that way, but I have a one-year-old that can't sleep through the night. I'm walking into every day feeling tired. It doesn't matter what year it is. But here's the thing. The year may be new. The calendar may have changed. But the burdens that we carry didn't. The year may be new, but the regret is the same. The date is different, but the empty feeling is still there. Maybe some of you walked in here today with a smile on your face, but deep inside, it's all empty. It feels dry. Maybe it's been that way for a while, not because you haven't tried, not because you haven't worked hard, not because you didn't pray, but no matter how much you feel you're pouring into your life, it feels like the joy never stays full long enough. And if that's you this morning, then our story we're going to look at today is not just a story of ancient history, it's our story. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I invite you to take those out. It will be on the screen, but I always like to encourage you to take out your Bibles, make notes as we go. We're going to be looking in John 4 at verse 1. Now, if you've been around the church for a while, you've probably heard this story countless times. Maybe you're hearing this story, though, for the first time ever today. Regardless of how many times, or if this is the first time, as we start this new year, I want our prayer today to be that God would reveal something new to us this morning from this passage. So we're going to John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. But Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, then you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw water with, and this well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did, and also did his sons and livestock?' And Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' And so he told her, 'Go back, get your husband, call him and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. And Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true.'" Jumping down to verse 25, "The woman said, 'I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us.' And then Jesus declared, 'I, the one speaking to you, I am he.'" So as we start this new year together, I want us to look at four points that we can take from this story about what it means to be filled up from the right source as we go into 2026 together. So again, if you've got something to take notes with, I encourage you to do so. I always like to take notes to go back and remember what was shared on Sunday morning. But point number one is this: thirst always leads you somewhere. Going back to verse 5. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" How many of you have ever been online, maybe Facebook, maybe other places online, and seen an image and it has this caption, "What's wrong with this picture?" And then you've got to look at the picture and figure out what's wrong with it. Have you seen one of those? A few of you? Don't worry if you haven't. We've got one today. We're going to do this together, okay? Here's a picture. What is wrong with this picture? Shout out the answer. Sorry, what was that? I think I may have heard it. Anybody? Let's see. Look on the other side of the bridge. The river. It's supposed to be a bridge over a river. There's no river on the other side of the bridge. Kind of pointless for the bridge to be there. Reason I show you this is because I was reading a commentary this week on this passage by N.T. Wright, and the very first thing he said in his commentary was, "What is wrong with the picture in this passage?" And so I figured this is a great way of illustrating that. But if we go back to this section of our passage, this really, let's ask ourselves what's wrong with this picture. First, we can see this is not the thing that's wrong. This is the thing that's right, okay? The woman is coming to this well on purpose. Didn't wander there with no intention of being there. She came there with purpose. She came because thirst has a way of guiding your steps. But here's something that's wrong with this picture. John tells us it was about noon. That's the hottest part of the day. In those days, when people came to draw a well, it was the women that came to draw water from the well, and they would come together as a group in the cool of the day. So with the Samaritan woman coming at noon by herself, that shows us something. It does not show us that she's lazy. She didn't sleep in and miss the group. She was obviously avoiding something. The heat was unbearable, but being recognized or seen by others was worse. And this well for her had become more than just a place to draw water. It had become a place of refuge, her reminder, her place of survival, and a place to hide. How many of you would say that you have a well like that in your life? Maybe a place where you go when you're depleted. A pattern you fall into when we're overwhelmed. A habit that you turn to when we don't know what else to do. Because here's the reality. Thirst is not just physical. There's a thirst for belonging. A thirst for identity. A thirst for rest. For healing. For purpose. And the other thing about thirst is powerful. If you've ever been thirsty, you're trying to get that drink. Your body is pushing you to go and get that drink. The same in this situation. Thirst pushes you possibly into situations that you said you'd never go back to. Thirst can lead you towards relationships that you promised you were done with. And it can drive you into behaviors that you swore you outgrew. Now, don't swear, but you outgrew it. Because here's the thing, untreated thirst in our lives will always choose a well for you. But Jesus says in verse 13 that everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Now realize he doesn't say some of you. He doesn't say you could possibly be. It says everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. No matter how deep the well is, no matter how long it's been there, no matter how good it tasted the first time you drank from it, temporary sources cannot satisfy eternal thirst. And if we don't get honest about what we are thirsty for, We'll never understand why we keep drinking from what drains us. Because thirst always leads you somewhere. Point two, even though thirst always leads you somewhere, Jesus will meet you at your well. If we go back to that same part of the passage, ask ourselves again, what's wrong with this picture? There's more. We have this woman who comes in the heat of the day by herself to draw water, doesn't want to be detected. Maybe she's not accepted by the rest of the group, and she comes upon this Jewish man named Jesus. Here's the second problem. Samaritans and Jews don't interact with each other. We read that later in our passage. Here's another thing. Men in those days did not have long conversations with women who weren't their family. That was looked upon poorly. So we've got this woman who's coming at the wrong time of day, doesn't want to be seen, talking to a Jewish man and just a man in general who isn't a relative. Lots wrong with this picture, but this is the picture we get. This is the picture we're dealt. This is one that's challenging the social norms of this time, but why? Because Jesus meant to meet this specific woman at this specific time and place. And it's in the same way that he chooses to meet with each of us. Maybe today you came in having been carrying quiet disappointment, not just in life, but in yourself, because maybe you don't feel that you are where you should be in your journey. But hear this, Jesus does not wait for you to become impressive. He waits for you to show up at the well. John 4 tells us that Jesus was traveling through Samaria, and tired from the journey, he sat down by the well. And this detail here matters because it shows that Jesus meets people from a seated position, not on a platform. He sits where you stand. Now, not where you wish that you were, not where you promised that you'd be by now, but right where you actually are in your journey. See, that woman didn't come to the well that day looking to find Jesus. She came because she was thirsty. It was her routine. She always came to draw water. But Jesus didn't, in that moment, redirect her somewhere else. He could have. Instead, he inserted himself right into the middle of her story. Didn't avoid her broken pattern. He entered it. And this tells us something important, that Jesus is not intimidated by your thirst. He's not disappointed in your mess. He's not impatient with your process. He meets us instead in our exhaustion, in confusion, in loneliness, compromise, failure, but not with lectures, instead with his presence. This is God's invitation that Pastor Miranda shared on last week from Isaiah 55. Jeff just read it for us, but I want to highlight one section of it again. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Why spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy?" See, here's the thing. God isn't scolding our thirst. He's inviting it. It's part of his invitation to come, all you who are thirsty. Today, that same Jesus that sat at the Samaritan woman's well, Jacob's well there, is sitting at your well, waiting to meet you today. Not to judge you, not to tell you how far behind you are, but instead to offer you something better, living water. To offer grace that doesn't run dry, mercy that meets you first, and life that doesn't depend on performance. And here's the cool thing, you don't have to move to meet him because he's already come to you, right here, right now, at your well. See, thirst always leads you somewhere. And Jesus meets you at your well. Number three, Jesus offers a different source. Now understand, Jacob's well, this is back near the beginning of the Bible. Jacob was the father of Joseph. This was the well that he offered to Joseph. And this well had been there for years. It was deep. And this matters because that means it requires constant effort. It means every drink came with struggle attached to it. You actually had to physically walk out of the city out to the well. You had to lower your bucket down in it. You had to pull it all back up, pour it into your jar, and then walk back home carrying that full jar of water. And then come back and repeat every day. But in the middle of this routine, Jesus says instead, I offer a spring. He doesn't offer a better well, doesn't offer quicker access, not lighter effort, but a spring. And see, when Jesus talks about living water here in John 4, he's using this picture of a spring that people would recognize and understand. Because in the ancient world, there were really only two kinds of water sources. It was wells or springs. And a well collects water from the outside. It depends on the rainfall, and it can run dry. How many of you have a well or had a well at some point in your life? How many of you have had that well run dry? A few of you. We have one. It has not run dry. We almost emptied it when my in-laws' place was being built. They hit the line with the excavator, filled in the whole foundation hole with water, but we fixed it. The well has not run dry yet. But that's the thing. The well has the chance to run dry. But a spring is different because it flows from the inside out. It doesn't need to be refilled. It doesn't depend on conditions. It doesn't stop just because life got hard. And that's what Jesus is saying in verse 14. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. The water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. See, in this moment, Jesus isn't offering her a bigger bucket to draw with. He's not even offering her a different bucket to draw from the well with. He's offering her a completely different source entirely. Because every well and bucket-based life sounds the exact same. It sounds like this. It says, I have to keep going back. I have to keep fixing. I have to keep proving. I have to keep holding it all together. See, wells with their buckets always demand more effort, but a spring produces life. See, Jesus isn't saying, come back every time you're empty and I'll refill that for you. Instead, he's saying, let me become what sustains you. See, when Jesus becomes your spring, your peace isn't dependent on your circumstances. Your joy isn't dependent on success. Your worth isn't dependent on performance. What if this year you don't need a bigger bucket to draw from? What if instead it doesn't need a cleaner bucket or a different bucket? What if it needs a new source? Not something that you carry with you to the well to draw water with. What if instead it's someone who flows? See, Jesus is not the water you collect. He is the life that rises within you. I want to demonstrate this to you. I've been told that people enjoy when I use props in my sermons, and so this helps you visualize. It helps me visualize. I'm a visual person. I will take no credit for this at all, though, because I did not come up with this alone. I've seen multiple reels this year of pastors online that have used this illustration. I thought it was great, and so I want to share it with you today, because here's the thing. We don't all use the same bucket when we come to the well. But we're all fighting that same thirst. So sometimes we come with this bucket to the well. We've got the Home Depot bucket. This is the fix it more bucket. Some of you wake up every day believing, once I fix my marriage, once I fix my finances, once I fix my mental health, once I fix my past, then I'll be okay. But listen, here's the thing. You can fix everything around you and still be empty inside. Jesus didn't come to give her a better checklist. He gave her a better source. What about this bucket? Some of you come with this one. The big bucket. This is the more we'll do it bucket. Just a little more, you know, a little more money, a little more success, a little more achievement in my life. But the problem with more is it always demands more. You can't satisfy an eternal soul with temporary things. But what if it was the opposite? What if instead you came with this bucket? You came to the well every day with this one. This one surprises people. This is my minimalistic bucket. Some think, well, if my life was just simpler, if I owned less, if I just downsized, then I'd be at peace. Here's the thing, simplicity is healthy, but it doesn't heal spiritual emptiness. This one a lot of people can relate with. You come to the well with this bucket. I wanted a KFC bucket, but I'm allergic to KFC chicken, and so we're stuck with this. But this resembles the comfort food, the comfort me bucket. This bucket says, I don't want to solve my problems. I want to eat to forget them. Food, our screens and technology, endless distractions. We fill our mouths so we don't have to fill our hearts. There's one last bucket I want to show you today. Maybe you come to the well with this bucket. How many of you have a bucket like this in your house? We use this for cleaning. It's a cleaning bucket, if we didn't know. As you can tell, it's pretty dirty. This is the I'll try to deserve God. And this one's a bit heavier emotionally. This is the I'll clean myself up before I go to God bucket. But here's the thing, if we read the story, Jesus didn't meet her after her repentance, after she cleaned her life up. He met her in the middle of her brokenness. And this is, you probably heard this a million times. I've heard it a million times, especially in church. You don't wash yourself before you get in the shower. You go into the shower to clean yourself up. But here's the thing, we've got all these different buckets here. But as we can see, it's the same emptiness. It's the same outcome. What if this year wasn't about finding a better bucket, a different bucket, a bigger or smaller bucket? What if instead it was finding a different source? Thirst always leads you somewhere. Jesus meets you at your well. He offers a different source. So then you don't need a new year. You need a new source. If we keep reading in our text, Jesus does something uncomfortable. He brings up this woman's past. Go to verse 18. He's told her, go, call your husband and come back. And imagine if they were in a room. I mean, they're probably outside of the city. There's nobody there because it's the heat of the day, so it's just like being in a quiet room, but the place just gets quiet. Maybe a few tumbleweeds roll by. Because we are expecting in this moment, this exposure to lead to rejection. We're expecting this truth that Jesus is revealing to come with some sort of punishment, but that's not what happens here. See, Jesus doesn't expose her history to shame her. He names her wound in order to heal her. He could have listed out all her failures in life, but he didn't. He doesn't rehash her mistakes. He doesn't reduce her to her worst decisions. Instead, he reveals what she's been carrying back and forth to this well so she can finally put it down. She replies to him saying, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Now, instead of pushing her away like he could have in this situation, he moves closer. And the moment when she's expecting judgment, she receives revelation. Because you keep reading, they go through this whole conversation. And we jump to verse 25, and the woman says, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus looks at this woman, this Samaritan, this outcast, a moral failure in her own eyes, and says something that he really hasn't said clearly to anyone else in his ministry yet. He says, "I am he, your Messiah, your Savior. The source is standing at her well." And see, her salvation didn't come from self-improvement. It didn't come from better habits or cleaner choices or trying harder next time. It came instead through her self-surrender. She stops defending. She stops hiding. She stops trying to manage her own story. And she lets the truth meet her there. Here's the cool thing. You keep reading on in John 4. Look at verse 28. It says that, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town." You keep reading, it says that she tells people about this man that she met. But here's the key thing. She left her jar. She just came and filled that with water so she wouldn't be thirsty. And she left it behind. It's obviously there for a reason. We don't want to skip over that. And I think here's my reason that I think it is because that jar was left because that represents the old system, the old source, the old way of living. See, you don't have to carry a bucket with you when you found a spring. So she leaves the thing that she came for because she found what she was actually looking for. I think that's what we need to hear today as we start into this new year. We don't need a new year. We don't need resolutions or slogans, a new plan or a new system, a new version of yourself. All you need is a new source. And here's the best thing. Jesus is already there and waiting to transform your life. Because here's the thing, transformation doesn't happen when life gets easier. Transformation happens when you no longer need what used to define you. See, she came that day to the well for water, but instead she left with life. So this question that I want to pose to us at the start of this new year is simple. What bucket do you need to leave behind? Because the reality is we are all carrying something we hope is going to fill us up. Effort, control, distraction, self-improvement. And each one of those things quietly promises, if this works, I'll finally be okay. But the problem was never how hard we try. The problem was where we went for our source. So you can fix things, you can simplify things, you can clean yourself up, but the reality is you'll still be thirsty. That's why the woman left her jar behind, because she realized she had been reaching for what she could never get, reaching for could never give her life. Only Jesus could give her life. That's why Jesus promised in 14, "Whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst again." These simple words are not advice. This goes back to last week. This is the invitation. So where have you been trying to satisfy your thirst this past year? Maybe it's been in comfort, food, technology, distraction. Maybe it's been in needing more, fixing things, cleaning yourself up, maybe even in downsizing. Jesus isn't saying, try harder. Instead, he's saying two simple words. Come, drink. If you find yourself today thirsty, tired, or worn down, maybe take a moment right now and pray quietly, "Jesus, I don't need a better situation. I need you to be my source." As we sing this next song, maybe you need to actually symbolically lay that bucket down. Maybe that means coming forward. Maybe that means sitting in your chairs, taking a moment of reflection as you start this new year. Whatever that looks like for you, I would encourage you as we sing to take that moment before God, to come and renew him as your source of life. to lay down that bucket, because this year doesn't begin with resolutions. It begins with surrender. And here's the reality. The spring is here. He says, come and drink. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are our source of life, this life, eternal life, everlasting, that you are this spring that wells up inside us, that we don't need to carry these buckets, God. That as we look to this new year, that you would reveal in us which bucket we have been carrying, and that you would help us to lay that down at your feet, to come to you as our source and not look to other things to be filled up with, God. That we would find true hope, joy, and peace in you each day, God. Would you help us to relinquish control, to leave the bucket behind, and then go and share this good news with others as we journey into 2026 together. In your name we pray. Amen.